Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. This time we're looking at how to land your dream tech job in 2025.
Sounds good.
So we've got a whole bunch of sources here, articles and videos and all sorts of stuff about this. And one thing that really stood out to me is this idea that it's less about like knowing everything and being this like super, you know, tech whiz, and more about kind of...
It's more about strategy than it is about
just
skills.
Knowing the right buttons to push.
Knowing the landscape.
Yeah.
And kind of knowing the rules of the game.
And understanding how the game is played, especially with AI coming in and doing a lot of this.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got to understand the AI. And then you also have to understand the human who's at the end of that process.
Okay. You're talking about like applicant... tracking systems, right? Those AI bots that are like...
Applicant tracking systems, or ATS as they're
called. ATS, okay, yeah.
And they're really changing the game.
So what do we need to know about these things?
Well, a lot of people don't realize how much power they have. Some studies show that like 75% of resumes are rejected.
Wow.
By an ATS before a human even looks at it.
75%, that's like...
I got it.
The majority of people are getting rejected right away.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so how do we even get past that first step?
It's not about tricking the system or like gaining it somehow. It's about understanding what it's looking for and giving it to it in a way that it can understand.
So it's about speaking the AI's language.
Yes, exactly. So,
what does that mean? Like,
well, for one thing. Keywords are really important.
Okay.
You want to make sure that the words that are in the job description are also in your resume. But it's not just about like stucking them in there.
Right.
You have to use them naturally.
Okay.
And make sure that they're actually relevant to your skills and experience.
Yeah.
Another thing is to quantify your achievements.
Quantify.
So instead of just saying improved efficiency.
Yeah.
Say something like increased productivity by 30%.
Oh, okay. So
use numbers to show the impact you made.
Numbers make sense for an algorithm.
Exactly. Algorithms love data.
So instead of just saying like, I'm good at this, I should say like, I increased this by this much.
Exactly. And there are tools out there that can help you with this.
Oh, really?
Like a job scan or a resume worded.
Oh, I've heard of those.
Yeah. They can analyze your resume and tell you what keywords are missing or if you're formatting your
paper. Some people confusing the ATS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've heard some of those things can really mess up.
They can really throw it off. Yeah.
The AI.
Yeah.
So it sounds like AI can actually be our friend in this process.
It can be if you know how to use it to your advantage. Okay. So we've gotten past the bots.
Mm-hmm.
Our resume is optimized. We're getting interviews now. What happens then?
Well, that's when the human element comes in. The AI might get you in the door, but it's the human who's going to ultimately decide whether to hire you.
Yeah. What are they looking for?
They're looking for things that algorithms can't quite quantify yet.
Mm-hmm. Like things like communication skills, collaborate, critical thinking, creativity, those soft skills.
So how do we show them those things?
Well, one really effective strategy is to show your work.
Show your work.
Yeah. So don't just list your skills on your resume.
Mm-hmm.
Highlight projects where you've actually used those skills to solve real world problems.
Yeah, so give them like examples.
Yeah. Give them concrete examples of what you've done.
Okay.
Did you build a machine learning model that improved customer retention? Did you lead a team
that launched a successful new product? Tell those stories.
So it's all about storytelling.
It's about connecting the dots between your skills and the tangible results you've achieved.
That makes sense. Humans love stories.
They do. It's how we make sense of the world.
It's how we remember things.
Exactly.
Okay. So speaking of connecting the dots, let's talk about remote work.
It's not just a perk anymore.
Yeah, it's like
the new normal.
It's the new normal.
Yeah.
It's the expectation.
Yeah, okay.
So you need to be able to demonstrate proficiency in a remote work environment.
Okay.
So how do we do that?
It's not just about being familiar with the tools.
Right, like Slack and Zoom.
Yeah, like Slack, Zoom, Asana, all those things.
Yeah.
It's about how you've used them effectively.
Okay, to collaborate, communicate.
Yeah. and deliver results.
Okay. So if they ask me about my remote work experience, I shouldn't just say like...
Yeah. Yeah. I've used Slack.
I'm familiar with Slack. Yeah. I would talk about a specific project.
Where I led a remote team to success.
Okay. So paint a picture for them.
You know, how did you overcome the challenges of remote collaboration?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What strategies did you implement
yeah.
to ensure everyone was on the same page?
Yeah.
What were the tangible outcomes of your efforts?
This is all great stuff, but one thing the Pericle I always worry about is how quickly technology changes. So how do we make sure our skills stay relevant?
That's where future-proofing your skill set comes in.
Future-proofing.
Yeah. Okay. You need to be strategic about the areas you choose to specialize in.
Okay.
So instead of just saying coding skills on your resume, focus on niche expertise. That will be in high demand, even as technology evolves.
So what are some of those niche areas?
Well, one area that's really heating up is green coding.
Green coding?
Yeah. Have you heard of that?
I haven't. What is that?
It's basically about writing energy-efficient code.
Ah.
As companies become more environmentally conscious.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Developers who can minimize the carbon footprint of their software are going to be highly sought after.
Okay. So it's not just about what the code does.
Yeah. It's about how efficiently it does.
How efficiently it does
it's
it.
It's also about
What other skills should we be thinking about?
Another big one is AI and ML.
Okay. Artificial intelligence and machine learning.
Yeah. But not just the theory.
Mm-hmm.
Companies need people who can deploy models that drive real-world results, whether that's improving customer experiences, optimizing processes, or creating new products and services.
So it's about being able to use AI and ML to solve actual problems.
Not just theoretical ones.
Not just like...
Knowing the concepts.
Yeah. Okay.
What and then there's cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity.
Yeah. That's an evergreen field.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only becoming more critical with each passing day.
Yeah. That makes sense with everything.
Yeah. With everything connected.
Right.
Protecting data is paramount.
Yeah. Okay. So cybersecurity.
Yeah. Definitely a good one. If I'm looking for job security, cybersecurity is probably a safe bet.
A pretty safe bet.
Yeah.
What about... Cloud computing.
Cloud computing is another area that's constantly evolving. Yeah.
But the focus is shifting from basic knowledge to optimization and scalability.
Okay.
Companies need experts who can manage costs, ensure reliability, and adapt to changing demands.
So it's not just about knowing how to use the cloud.
Yeah. It's about how to use it strategically.
Yeah. And efficiently.
Exactly.
Okay. And what about data science?
Data science is huge.
Yeah.
But again, there's a shift happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough. It's not enough to just be able to crunch numbers.
Yep.
You need to be able to translate that data into actionable insights that drive business decisions.
It's about connecting the dots between
the data and the real world.
Yeah.
Business outcomes.
Business outcomes. Okay. So,
in 2025, the most valuable tech professionals will be those who can bridge the gap between technology and business strategy.
Okay. So it seems like the name of the game is specialization.
It is. Yeah.
But I worry about getting pigeonholed.
Yeah. That's a valid concern.
Yeah. How do we avoid that?
That's where the concept of the T-shaped professional comes
in. T-shaped.
Yeah. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it. I don't totally understand it.
Okay. Well, think of it this way. You want to be the go-to expert in your specific area of expertise.
Exactly.
Okay.
But you also want to have a broader understanding of related fields.
So I need to be both a specialist and a generalist.
Full-pressed.
Okay. That seems like a tough...
It is a tough balance,
Balance.
But it's a balance worth striving for. It allows you to contribute meaningfully
to a wider range of projects.
Collaborate effectively with diverse teams and adapt to new challenges as they arise.
Okay, so it's kind of like having a deep well of knowledge in one area. But also,
having a wide surface area.
Yeah, of knowledge in other areas.
Yeah.
So you can
connect with
people and understand different perspectives.
Yeah.
And be more adaptable.
Okay. This is all incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
But let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it all comes down to compensation.
It does. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How do we make sure we're getting paid, what we're worth?
That's where the art of negotiation comes in.
Oh,
and this is where a lot of people.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
You don't leave money on the table. Okay, so give us the inside scoop.
Okay. First and foremost.
Mm-hmm. Do your homework. Okay. Research salary ranges.
Mm-hmm.
For similar roles.
Yeah. In your area.
In your area, in your industry. Websites like levels.ifi.
Mm-hmm. And Glassdoor.
Glassdoor, yeah. Those are great resources.
Okay. So we can kind
of
go ahead.
And the rise of pay transparency laws.
Yeah. I've heard about that.
A lot of companies are now including salary ranges in their job postings. So use that information to your advantage.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So you can walk into a negotiation.
Mm-hmm. Armed with hard data.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And you can back it up.
And you don't have to.
Yeah.
Just rely on what they're telling you.
Yeah. Okay.
But here's the thing. Your compensation package is more than just your salary.
Okay.
I've heard it's like an iceberg. The salary is just the tip.
What else should we be thinking about?
Think about things like learning and development budgets.
Okay. So I can keep upskilling.
Yeah. So you can keep learning and growing.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
What else?
Remote work stipends if you're working remotely.
Yeah. That might give you money.
To help cover your home office expenses.
Okay. That's good.
Stock options or equity.
Okay. So you can own a piece of the company?
Yeah, potentially. The company does well.
Mm-hmm. You do well.
Conference attendance.
Yeah.
So you can stay up to date on industry trends.
Okay. And flexible hours. Okay. So it's about more than just that.
Yeah, it's about number on the paycheck.
The number on the paycheck.
So it's about the whole package.
Exactly. It's about your overall well-being.
Yeah.
And your career growth.
Okay. So we've negotiated our amazing package. We're super excited. We get the offer letter.
Mm-hmm. Be careful.
Why?
There's a common pitfall.
Mm-hmm. I call it the offer letter trap. The offer letter trap.
Right. Okay.
People get so excited.
Yeah. Right.
They sign it right away without reading the fine print.
Okay. So
the offer letter is just a summary.
Mm-hmm.
The full employment agreement is a much longer document.
Okay. That outlines all the terms and conditions.
And that's where the details are.
What kind of details?
What kind of details are we talking about?
Things like restrictive clauses.
Okay.
You know, like non-compete agreements or intellectual property rights.
So right.
Things that could really impact your future.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
So don't fall into the trap.
Well,
always request the full employment agreement before you sign anything.
Okay.
And don't be afraid to negotiate those terms if they don't align with your needs or expectations.
And I imagine our negotiating power is highest.
Absolutely. Before we quit our current job,
yeah,
I want you to leverage that. Okay. So we've got the full agreement now.
Yeah. Review it carefully.
Yeah.
Pay attention to those restrictive clauses.
Mm-hmm. The compensation structure.
The benefits package.
Yeah.
The performance expectations.
Okay. Clarify anything that seems ambiguous.
Yes. And make sure everything you've agreed upon is in writing.
This is a whole new level of job hunting.
It is. It's not just about finding a job anymore. It's about building a career.
Yeah.
On your own terms.
On your own terms, exactly.
Okay. So we've mastered our resumes.
Uh-huh.
We've nailed the AI game. We've negotiated like pros.
Yeah.
What's next?
How to move beyond algorithms and job descriptions.
Okay. And talk about something that truly sets you apart. What's that?
Your personal brand.
Personal branding.
Huh? That can sound a little intimidating.
Intimidating, yeah. Like, I don't even know.
But it doesn't have to be. Think of it as crafting your own narrative.
Okay. In the tech world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? How do we build a personal brand?
Well, one of the best ways is to start writing.
Writing.
Okay. What should we write about?
Write about your experiences, your insights, your thoughts on industry trends, technical challenges, lessons learned.
So platforms like
Medium and LinkedIn are great for this.
Okay. So it's about
establishing yourself as a thought leader and showcasing your expertise.
Okay. So don't just
write in a vacuum.
Right. Get out there.
Yeah. Get out there and share your thoughts with the world.
Okay.
So participate in virtual tech communities. Share your insights.
Mm-hmm. Engage in discussion.
Connect with other professionals.
That's all about
building relationships.
Yeah, building relationships and being part of the larger conversation.
Okay. What about creating our own content?
That's a great idea.
Okay, like what kind of content?
Blogs, videos, tutorials.
Tutorials. Anything that showcases your expertise and passions.
Okay. So we can like make a YouTube channel.
You can make a YouTube channel. You could start a blog.
Mm-hmm. You could create online courses.
Yeah, the possibilities are endless.
Okay, so we're putting ourselves out
there. You're putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
You're sharing your knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You're building your brand.
Exactly.
And what about LinkedIn?
LinkedIn is essential. It's like your online resume.
Yeah. But it's more than that.
But it's more than that, right?
Yeah. It's like our whole professional identity.
What, your online professional identity.
Okay.
So make sure it's a good one.
How do we do that?
Well, first of all, make sure it's up to date.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Keep your experience and skills current?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
No, but don't just list your job titles and responsibilities.
Okay. So we talked about personal branding, LinkedIn, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's so much out there.
Yeah.
It's hard to even know where to start.
It can be overwhelming.
Yeah. So what are some must-have resources or strategies that can give us a real edge in this?
Well, one thing that I always recommend is online communities.
Online communities.
Yeah. They're like a virtual support system. Mm-hmm. And a goldmine of information.
Yeah. You can connect with other people in the industry.
Yeah.
Share tips and advice. Get insights into different companies.
Okay, so we're not just talking about like general job boards.
No. I'm talking about places like Blind.
Blind, I've heard of that.
Yeah. It's a platform where tech professionals can
share information and all
exactly. So you can get the real scoop on salaries, company culture, all that good stuff.
That's really helpful.
Yeah. Because a lot of that information is not publicly available. You know.
Yeah, okay. So, Line for the inside scoop.
Yeah.
Mm.
Blind for the tea.
Okay. What about just general networking?
Well, don't underestimate LinkedIn.
Oh, LinkedIn.
Yeah. It's not just for finding jobs anymore.
Okay. It's a powerful platform for building relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Connecting with people in your field.
Yeah. Staying up to date on industry trends.
So, it's like a giant networking event.
It is. That's always happening.
It's kind of intimidating.
It can be. But it doesn't have to be.
Okay, so how do we even approach that?
Be proactive.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to people.
Okay.
People you admire, people whose work you respect.
Mm-hmm. People who are doing things that you want to be doing.
Exactly. Send them a personalized message.
Okay. Mention something specific.
Yeah, that you liked about their work.
Or ask a thoughtful question. So it's about building genuine relationships.
It is. Not just collecting contacts. Right. Exactly.
That's good advice. What about attending those virtual tech conferences?
Those are still incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can be overwhelming, though.
They can be. But again, you don't have to do everything. Okay, just
choose the sessions that align with your interests and your career goals.
Okay. Take notes. Engage in the chat. Follow up with me.
Exactly. Afterwards. Oh, yeah. It's a great way to learn new things.
Mm-hmm. Make connections. And stay on top of trends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we've got online communities.
Mm-hmm.
We've got conferences. Mm-hmm. We've got LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about free sources?
Or specializing in a particular area. There are so many great online learning platforms out there.
Okay. Like what? What are some of your favorites?
Coursera, Udacity, EDX.
Mm-hmm.
They all offer high quality courses from top universities and companies.
Okay. And those are the ones where you can.
Some of them are free. Some are paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even the paid ones are often much more affordable.
Much more affordable, yeah, than traditional education.
And going back to school.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And these courses are focused on.
They're focused on those in-demand skills
that
we talked about earlier.
All right, green coding, AI and ML.
AI and ML. Integral
theory.
Yeah, that stuff.
All the good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. What about certifications?
Certifications can be a great way.
Mm-hmm. To validate yourself.
Yeah, and show potential employers that you're serious about your professional development.
Yeah, they can definitely give you an edge.
Okay, certifications noted. What about something a little more off the beaten path?
Off the beaten path. Hmm. Have you considered your local library?
The library for tech.
Yeah. I know it sounds a little strange, but a lot of libraries these days offer free access
to online learning platforms, databases, career resources.
That's amazing. I never would have thought of that.
Yeah, it's a hidden gem. A lot of people don't realize what a valuable resource libraries can be.
That's a great tip.
Uh-huh.
What about finding someone who can provide more personalized guidance? You're talking about mentorship?
Yeah, mentorship is key.
Finding a mentor in the tech industry.
Mm-hmm. Can be incredibly valuable.
Okay.
They can share their experiences.
Our insights, their network.
Yeah.
They can help you navigate the challenges and opportunities of the tech world.
It's like having a personal guide.
It is. It's like having a Sherpa for your tech journey.
Okay, so we've got all these resources now.
Mm-hmm. We're feeling good.
We're feeling prepared. But before we jump into the interview process.
Yeah. What's the biggest mistake you see people making?
Mm.
when it comes to their tech job search, one of the most common mistakes is not tailoring their approach.
Okay. To each specific company and role.
Exactly. Mm. People often use the same resume.
Yeah. And cover letter for every job they apply to.
And that's a big mistake.
Mm.
Because every company is different.
Right. They have different culture.
Different values. Different goals.
So if I'm applying to a startup versus a big corporation.
It'd be highlighted.
Exactly. Different things. You want to demonstrate.
Yeah.
That you understand their unique needs and how your skills and experience align with their specific vision. So
it's not just about finding any job.
It's not. It's about finding the right job, the right fit.
The right fit,
for you.
Okay.
And it's also about remembering that. The job search is a two-way street.
Oh. You're evaluating?
You're evaluating them just as much as they're evaluating you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that their culture and values
align with your own.
Okay. Okay. This is all really helpful. We've covered so much ground.
Yeah. From online communities to mentorship programs to the importance of tailoring our approach.
But I know what everyone's really waiting for.
What's that?
The interview.
The interview. That's the
main event. Yeah.
Yep.
That's where all your hard work
preparation
culminates.
So in our next segment, we'll dive deep into the specific strategies and techniques that can help you ace those tech interviews and land your dream job. I'm ready for it. Bring on the interview challenge. Okay, so we made it to the final round, the interview.
This is it.
The moment of truth.
All your hard work pays off.
So how do we make sure that we shine?
Well, it's important to remember that the interview is more than just a technical assessment.
Okay. It's a chance for you to connect with the hiring team
yeah.
on a human level, to show them your personality, your passion, your communication skills.
So it's not just about like reciting facts and figures.
They want to see who you are.
Yeah. How you think.
How you'd fit into their team.
Okay. So how do we prepare for that?
Well, first of all, do your research.
Go beyond just reading the company's website.
Okay.
Dig deeper.
Understand their mission, their values. Their recent initiatives. Think about how your skills and experiences align with their specific goals.
So it's kind of like tailoring our resume.
It is, but for our personality.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we want to show them that we get them.
You want to demonstrate that you've done your homework
and
that you're genuinely interested
exactly.
in the opportunity. And I've heard it's a good idea to check out the LinkedIn profiles.
Oh, that's a great tip.
Of the people who are going to be interviewing us.
Absolutely. That way we can kind of
get a sense of their background.
Yeah. Get a sense of who they are.
Yeah.
What they're interested in. Maybe even find some common ground.
Okay. So we can build rapport.
Exactly. It shows that you're taking the initiative to understand who you'll be talking to. Okay. So we've done our research. We're feeling prepared. What kind of questions can we expect?
Well, you can expect a mix of behavioral questions, technical assessments, and scenario-based questions.
Okay, so behavioral questions are those classic ones, like tell me about a time you failed.
Yeah, or describe a situation where you had to overcome a challenge, things like that. They want to see how you handle difficult situations, how you learn from your mistakes, how you work under pressure.
So those are all about kind of like our soft skills.
Exactly.
Okay. What about technical assessments?
Technical assessments are more about evaluating your hard skills, your coding abilities, your knowledge of specific technologies, your problem solving skills.
So those are probably more like coding challenges.
Yeah. They might give you a coding challenge or ask you to walk them through a solution to a technical problem.
Okay. And then
there's scenario-based questions.
Scenario-based. Okay, what are those like?
These are questions that put you
yeah.
in a hypothetical situation.
Okay.
And ask you how you would approach it. So, for example, they might say, imagine you're working on a project.
Okay. And you encounter a major obstacle. How would you handle it?
Exactly. Or they might say, how would you design a system? To do X, Y, Z.
So they're really looking to see how you think.
How you think. How you problem solve. Mm. How you approach unfamiliar situations.
That makes sense. So it's not just about having the right answer.
It's not. It's about showing them your thought process, your ability to think critically and to adapt to new situations.
This is starting to feel a lot like a performance.
It is a bit of a performance.
Yeah. You want
that? You're trying to impress the audience. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing is to be authentic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So don't try to be someone you're not.
Exactly. Be yourself. Show them your passion.
Yeah.
Your enthusiasm. Your unique perspective.
Okay. So we've talked about the types of questions. Are there any specific strategies can you to like really nail those answers? To make sure we're hitting the mark.
Definitely. One really effective strategy is
the STAR method. The STAR method. Okay, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
What is it again?
As it stands for. Situation.
Okay.
Task. Action. Mm-hmm. Result.
Okay.
So when you're answering a behavioral question, start by setting the scene.
Okay.
Describe the situation. Then explain your specific role. The task.
Mm-hmm. Outline the actions you took.
And highlight the positive outcome.
So instead of just saying, I improved efficiency, I would say something like, I was working on this project.
Exactly. And I noticed that this process was inefficient.
Mm-hmm. So I took these steps. Mm-hmm. And as a result, efficiency improved by this much.
Exactly. You're telling a story.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're making it concrete.
Mm-hmm.
You're showing them
the impact you made. Mm-hmm. And that's much more memorable.
That makes a lot of sense.
Than just a vague statement.
Okay. And what about for those technical questions?
Oh, technical questions.
Or scenario-based questions. Mm. Should we be trying to...
Don't be afraid to think out loud.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know the answer right away.
Okay. Walk them through your thought process. So it's okay to say something like, okay, let me think about how I would approach this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Show them how you break down a problem.
Mm-hmm.
How you analyze information.
How you arrive at a solution.
Okay. That's more valuable.
Than just memorizing a bunch of facts.
Yeah. Because...
In the real world.
Yeah. In the real world.
Yeah.
You're not always going to know the answer right away. You're going to have to figure it out.
Yeah. And they want to see that you can do that.
That you're resourceful.
Okay.
That you're a problem solver.
Oh, remember.
The interview is also a chance for you to evaluate them.
Right. It's not just a one-way street. So we should be asking questions, too.
Absolutely. Ask insightful questions.
Yeah.
That show you're engaged, that you're curious,
yeah,
that you've done your research.
Okay. So what are some good questions we can ask?
You could ask about the company's culture, their work-life balance policies, their approach to professional development, their plans for the future.
Okay. Those are all good ones.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to ask about things that are important to you.
Okay. Like salary and benefits and growth opportunity.
Exactly. You want to make sure that this is the right fit for you.
Okay. So we've aced the interview. We're feeling good. Is there anything else we can do?
Always send a thank you note.
Okay. After the interview.
Yeah. It's a simple gesture, but it can go a long way.
Okay. It shows that you're appreciative of their time.
And that you're still interested in the opportunity.
So it's about staying top of mind.
It is.
Okay. And reiterating our interest.
Exactly. You want to leave them with a positive impression.
Okay. Well, this has been a fantastic deep dive.
It has. Yeah.
Into the world of landing a tech job in 2025.
The job market is constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The fundamentals remain the same.
They do. Prepare thoroughly. Be yourself. Ask insightful questions and follow up.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly,
don't give up.
Don't give up on your dreams. The tech world needs your talent.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us.
It's been my pleasure. Yeah.
And to all of our listeners out there, good luck on your job search.
Good luck. We're rooting for you.
We'll see you next time.
See you later.